This is Ian Griffin with Professionally Speaking and a featured freelancer. I'm here with Kathy Sturczyk. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Ian.
Well, it's great to meet you. You and I both work for High Tech Connect in Pleasanton, but you're based not in California, but on the East Coast. Where exactly?
I work for Cisco Systems out of Herndon, Virginia.
And you are a freelancer with your own area of expertise and interest, which is, I understand, public policy. What exactly in public policy?
Well, I worked for a long time in the Silicon Valley, and I've always had an interest in Washington, D.C., and I decided to go back and pursue a master's degree so I could understand the intersection between D.C. policymaking and what goes on in Silicon Valley. So I studied at the George Washington University at their International Affairs School, and I completed a master's of international policy and practice where I focused on IT policy, both in the U.S. and other leading countries that are leaders in the IT space.
And you did that while you were working, or did you take time off and have savings to fund it?
Well, my business did very well in 2010, so I actually stopped out for a little bit and took some time off and didn't work for a while, and then began working part-time toward the end of my studies.
Okay, so do you write about this topic? Do you have a website or blog that people can go check out your ideas on?
I became kind of a policy junkie about tech policy, and so I do have a blog. It's called the Dialogue Blog through WordPress, D-I-A-L-O-G, and I pontificate on different issues like cybersecurity. Data privacy is a real hot-button issue for me. I think there's a lot of decisions that will come down in Washington in the next term, now that the election is behind us, that are going to impact the way that technology companies have traditionally operated and are going to cause changes, and I come from the communicator's perspective because that's what I do, but there will be changes to how companies advertise, how they collect and use data, what kind of messages they push out. And so communicators not only shape that message, but they may have some liability or responsibility for what they push out on behalf of the corporations they work for.
So just to be clear, you're not with the public policy division or department at Cisco. You're in the communications area.
I work with a division that services the public sector, and I support them through communications.
Okay.
But I do not shape policy at Cisco.
Right. Okay. Well, it's a fascinating area, and I'm sure that in the technology field as it's developed over the past 20 years and looking forward 20 years, it's not going away, right? Policy, the issues that laws and regulations that Washington passed do affect tech companies. Is that right?
Oh, it's only going to increase. There's been minimal impact until now through things like net neutrality. That might be an issue that a lot of people were familiar with. But now there, a year ago, there was a big phenomenon called SOPA and PIPA, the Stop Online Piracy Act and the Protect Intellectual Property Act, where Hollywood basically stepped up to the Congress and said, you have to impose restrictions on the technology companies that give access to the Internet because our creative and intellectual property is being pirated. And that would have had an enormous impact on technology companies, and some of them woke up to it and said, whoa, wait a minute, you can't hold us responsible for content that other people put up there. They staged an Internet blackout, and anyway, the bills got, they died a very unceremonious death in very short order. But Hollywood's not going to give up. Data privacy is a bigger and bigger issue. Cybersecurity is a huge issue in this country, and all of these are only going to become more pressing for technology companies, not less so.
Right. So let's talk about your life as a freelancer then. You were able to take advantage of some flexibility there. You said you had some resources, so you took time off. Is that something you've done? First of all, how long have you, you know, been what they call a 1099 versus a W-2 staff person?
I actually own my own corporation, so I'm an employee of my corporation. So I'm trying to escape the 1099 label, although I've done that for a very long time, and it's a fine living. But I had worked as a consultant for several consulting companies, boutique consulting companies, the last one being Jupiter Media Metrics. At the height of the dot-com era, that was the research company to be associated with. And as the dot-com bubble burst, I got laid off, and I just thought, I don't want to be laid off again. It doesn't feel very good, so I'm going to hang out my own shingle and try it. And that was in 2000, the beginning of 2000, and now we are at the end of 2012.
So for 12 years, you've actually made a living, you've paid the rent and everything else through your own company, through being a consultant to how many organizations would you say you've worked with altogether as clients?
I've worked with various parts of Cisco Systems, but I've also worked with other technology companies. I've done work with a library system. I've done work in the chemical industry, in the biopharmaceuticals industry. So probably, a dozen different companies at least over that time period.
And what are some of the, you obviously have the flexibility, you're very passionate about the policy area and you can bring that into your work. What would you say to people who are listening to this who might be full-time employees debating the idea of becoming a freelancer? What are some of the one or two gotchas that they have to be aware of before they quit their job or whatever?
Don't quit your day job. This lifestyle is not for everyone. If you like the security of a regular predictable paycheck every 2 weeks and having a consistent group of coworkers that you see every day when you show up at an office, freelancing is probably not the lifestyle for you. But it can be incredibly rewarding. I've been very privileged to work with a variety of executives because I generally work at the executive level. I get insights into all different kinds of businesses, different business issues, so you develop real strategic understanding of a marketplace. I have flexibility in my work. I have variety in my work. I've learned different sectors. It can be very rewarding in that way. Do I go through slow periods? Yes, absolutely, as others do, although I'm pretty fortunate. I'm usually busy. But you don't get benefits, so when others are taking their paid vacation, you're not getting a paid vacation. I provide my own health care, things like that. So it's a trade-off.
And talking about that would be one issue maybe some people are thinking of. Do you find that you're able to take time off, or is it always a challenge to build that time into your annual cycle?
I'm a great believer in work-life balance, so I try to take time at least a couple of weeks off a year. I just have to do that to recharge.
Yeah. So just for one more time, what is the exact URL if people want to read your writings on tech policy?
So if you go on WordPress, it's called the Dialog Blog, Dialog, or my specific company website is dialogrc.com, and you can link to the blog from there.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, it's been great talking to you. We're here in California. I have one question then. You're sort of some of the time back on the East Coast, some of the time here, about 50-50 or?
Yeah, I'm generally doing 1 to 2 weeks a month in Northern Virginia and the rest of the time here in the Silicon Valley.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Kathy. It's been great talking with you.
Thank you, Ian. Have a good day.